In the book of Exodus and the chapter 12, you will read the record of how the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt with regard to the institution of the Passover feast. You remember how Moses and Aaron had been sent by the Lord to Pharaoh on a number of occasions to demand of Pharaoh that he let the children of Israel go, that he let them go from Egypt into the wilderness to sacrifice unto the Lord. And yet Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened, he defied the Lord God and the Lord's command to let the children of Israel go. And so as a consequence, God had sent a number of plagues upon the land of Egypt and upon the people there. And when the 10th and final plague was about to come, which was going to come in the form of the death of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, the Lord instructed Moses and Aaron to speak to the children of Israel and to instruct them to take a lamb for each household. To take a lamb for each household on the 10th day of the month. To keep that lamb until the 14th day of the month. That lamb was to be a male of the best of the flock without blemish. And it was to be killed on the 14th day of the month. You remember how the blood was to be taken. And it was to be sprinkled on the doorposts, each side, and the upper doorposts applied to the homes of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. And that night, when they went into their houses, they were to eat of the roasted flesh of the lamb, along with the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. And that meal was known as the Lord's Passover, for a very simple reason. Because that night, when the Lord would pass through the land of Egypt and would smite the firstborn of man and beast, the blood of the lamb applied to the doorposts of the homes of the children of Israel would be a token. When the Lord would see the blood, he would pass over. The firstborn of Israel would not be smitten in the plague. And so the Passover feast was instituted and was to be remembered by the children of Israel every year as a memorial, remembering the Lord's goodness to them, remembering that the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt, remembering that the Lord had brought them out of their bondage. And of course it was also to be held to instruct their children concerning what the Lord had done for them. But the Passover lamb had another significance as well. It pointed forward to the Lord Jesus, who would come as the Lamb of God. The one who would come and go to the cross at Calvary and shed his blood and give himself as that one sufficient sacrifice for sins forever, for the redemption of his people from sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. He wrote these words, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." In Peter's Epistle chapter 1, the first Epistle chapter 1 verse 18. He was able to write to God's people and remind them that they had been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. When you come to this passage that we have read from this morning in Luke 22, you'll find in the opening verse that it was the time of the Passover feast. Yes, it was drawing near to the time when the Lord Jesus was going to be crucified, but it was the time of the Passover feast. And in the opening verse of Luke 22, we read, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." The Lord Jesus was going to sit down, as he did, with his disciples and partake of this Passover feast. But on this particular night that is recorded in Luke chapter 22, it was drawing so near the time when the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was going to be slain on Calvary's hill. And the symbol, the type of the Passover lamb and feast was going to disappear and be replaced by what we know as the Lord's Supper. And in this passage, as the Lord Jesus sat down at the time of the Passover feast, he also here instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. And I want for a few moments this morning to think upon the Lord's Supper. After this service, those who are saved and walking with the Lord are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want us to think upon the observance of the Lord's Supper. And I trust it will speak to you if you're saved. I trust also it will speak to you this morning if you're not saved. There are three things I want to consider with relation to the observance of the Lord's Supper. First of all, I want you to note it is something that was commanded by the Lord Jesus himself. When you read down this passage that we have read from earlier in Luke 22, and if you read even the parallel passages in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and also when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is read at the time of observing the Lord's Supper, normally speaking, and read of what Paul was led of God to write as an apostle, you will discover that the Lord's Supper is not something which was thought up or invented by God's people at some time in the past, but rather it is something that was instituted and commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so every time you, as a child of God, observe the Lord's Supper, you ought to remember that you are doing so in obedience to the command of the Savior himself. Look for a moment at this chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel. Come down to the verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 of Luke 22, we read of the Lord Jesus, and he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And listen to these next words. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He is speaking to his disciples. He is saying to them, this do in remembrance of me. It's the Lord Jesus who is giving them the command. Turn back to Mark 14 and the verse 22. And again you will see in this parallel passage, Mark 14, verse 22, that it is the Lord Jesus who is giving them the command to take part. Mark 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. It is the Lord Jesus again who is giving the command. You can look at Matthew 26 and 27. You will find again the words of the Lord Jesus concerning the cup. Drink ye all of it. The Lord Jesus Christ on that night, on this night in which he instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper, he was the one that commanded the disciples to take of the bread and eat, to take of the cup and to drink. And even in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul as an apostle, with that authority given to him by the Lord as an apostle, he referred to what happened on that night that we have read of. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he made it clear that it was the Lord Jesus who had commanded the Lord's Supper to be remembered. Listen to what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, it's the Lord Jesus who is giving the command. As Paul refers back to what he said on that occasion as he wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 11. And you know, in that same passage, in verse 28, when Paul had already warned of drinking unworthily, drinking the cup and eating the bread unworthily, he said in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." He, with his authority as an apostle, spoke those words. And of course, again, what he said was related to the command of the Lord Jesus himself to remember his death in this manner. And you know, if you're saved this morning, only if you're saved and walking with the Lord this morning, can you be invited to obey the Lord's command and partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're not saved this morning, the Lord in His Word does not command you to remember His death in this way, because you have not partaken personally of the Lord Jesus and His salvation by faith. But you know, just as partaking of the Lord's Supper is one of many commands given to the child of God, so if you're unsaved, while you're not commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper, there are many places in the Scripture where there are commands given to you by God if you're still unsaved. In Acts chapter 17 and the verses 30 and 31, there we find there a command which is very applicable to you if you're not saved, a command from God Himself. In Acts 17, the verses 30 and 31, listen to the words. Paul was preaching, and he said in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, "In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised them from the dead." And while, as I've already said, if you're not saved, you're not commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper, here's a command for you from God in these verses. Because we're told that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You can't rule yourself out of that. God commands all men, woman too, everywhere, to repent. God calls you to forsake your sin. God calls you to turn from your sin and to come to Him in repentance, that you may, through Christ, receive forgiveness for your sins. The Lord Jesus Himself, as He walked upon this scene of time, we read in Mark chapter 1, the verses 14 and 15, as He preached the gospel, He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." There's a command for you, whether you're a boy or a girl, a young person, man or woman. You're commanded to repent, to turn from sin, to come by faith and embrace Christ as your Savior. The Lord's Supper, which was instituted in Luke 22, the observance of it was commanded by Christ. I want you to see in the second place for a moment that it was also a commemoration. It was something commanded by Christ, but in the second place, it was something which is a commemoration of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Look again at chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel, and the verses 19 and 20. The Lord Jesus and His disciples are gathered, according to verse 12, in that large upper room. And remember, He was there in the body that was prepared for Him by God when He came into this world. Here He is upon earth as the God-man, and breaking bread and giving thanks. What does He say to the disciples in the verse 19 of Luke 22? "He took bread, gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying," and note carefully His words, "This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Of course, when the Lord Jesus was referring to the bread and saying, "This is My body," He meant this as a symbol, an emblem of My body which is going to be given and broken for you. The Church of Rome blasphemously teaches that the bread becomes the body of Christ when consecrated by the priest, and the contents of the cup become blood. And of course, that's not found in the Word of God. It's blasphemy, it's error. The bread remains bread. The contents of the cup remain the same. But they are symbols, emblems of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the Lord Jesus was making it clear that the observance of the Lord's Supper, it was not a sacrifice, but it was a commemoration of His perfect sacrifice. Of course, He hadn't yet went to the cross here in Luke 22, but He was about to go, very soon to go, and of course, nothing could change the fact that He would go and offer Himself as that one sufficient sacrifice for sins forever. But He was teaching His disciples that when they partook of the Lord's Supper, it was a commemoration of what He was going to do. And as they would look back then, of course, after He gave Himself on Calvary, it was a commemoration of His sacrifice on Calvary. Verse 19 of Luke 22, He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." In commemoration of what I will do for you. The same words are found in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 24 and 25. "This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me." So when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are commemorating, we are remembering what He has done for us, if we're saved, what He did for us by His life, by His death on Calvary's cross. What He did there to satisfy God's justice. What He did there by bearing the wrath of God for our sins. Someone has described remembering the Lord's death by partaking of the Lord's Supper as an affectionate calling of Christ and His finished work of sacrifice to man. If you're saved this morning, there's many things in life we take time to commemorate and remember. A birthday, an anniversary. We remember certain events in our families. We remember and commemorate certain events in our congregation, in our churches. Those things are right. We remember world events. We think of what is known as Remembrance Sunday. We remember world events. We remember those who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. We think of what we term Reformation Sunday or Reformation Month. And we remember all these things. But you know, when we come around the Lord's table, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are commemorating and remembering the greatest person and the greatest event which has ever taken place in the history of this world. That person and that event, who ought to mean so much to you if you're saved, because what the Lord Jesus did on your behalf makes your life worth living in time and in eternity. But again this morning, if you're not saved, we cannot invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper if you're not saved, because you have not personally partaken of the Lord Jesus. You have never turned from sin and come and sought the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. You have never come and by faith received the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. You know, if you go on in your sin, continue to reject the Savior, and continue to go through life out of Christ, unforgiven, and die in that state and end up in a lost eternity, you will have cause to remember many things for all eternity. But to regretfully remember many things. To regretfully remember the many times you heard the gospel and yet rejected the message and the Lord Jesus. The many times you put off the matter of God's salvation. Remember in Luke 16 we read of the Lord Jesus speaking of that rich man who ended up in hell. He didn't end up in hell simply because he was rich. All his riches maybe distracted him from thinking about his soul. But he ended up in hell because he never turned from sin and trusted Christ as a Savior. And you know, we had time to think and remember many things. And in Luke 16, verse 27, we read of how he said to Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He had time to think and to think of his brethren, who he knew were going on, as far as he knew when he left them, were going on in their sin too, and would end up in that terrible place called hell. And he wanted someone to go back from the dead and warn them. And of course, he was told, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They have the Old Testament scriptures, let them take heed to those. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And again, he was told, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. No one rose from the dead. He, no doubt, regretfully remembered the fact that he had not taken heed to Moses and the prophets. And he feared lest his brethren, who were still in life, would not take heed. Would end up in that terrible place called hell. Far better for you to turn from your sin today. Come and trust the Lord Jesus. To place your faith in him and his finished work for salvation. To enter into the joy of the forgiveness of sins. And then to have the joy partaking of the Lord's Supper and remembering his death, his sacrifice, and the way that he has appointed. If you come back to Luke 22, there's one final thought I want to leave with you. The observance of the Lord's Supper is something that was commanded by the Lord Jesus himself. It's something which commemorates his death, his sacrifice, his finished work. But in the final place, it is a time of communion with the Lord. Of course, there are many ways in which we commune with the Lord as his people. Every time in the private place at home, when you come before the Lord and you pray and you intercede and you read his word, you're communing with the Lord. Even as you go about your daily duties day by day, you can commune with the Lord and talk with him and bring matters before him. Every time you come to the house of God and sit under his word as it is read and preached, again, you're communing with the Lord as you draw near to him. And when we come to observe the Lord's Supper and remember his death in the way that he has appointed, if we do it aright, again, we are communing with the Lord. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10 and the verse 16. Again, some words penned by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. He wrote, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? If we partake of the Lord's Supper aright, we will commune with him as we remember his death, his sacrifice, and what he has done for us. If you take time to read what the Confession says, the Westminster Confession of Faith, with relation to the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're told that when the Lord's Supper is observed, it's for the remembrance of the sacrifice of himself. We've thought upon that. It's for the sealing all benefits thereof unto true believers. It's for our spiritual nourishment and growth in him. And listen to this, it's also to be a bond and pledge of our communion with Christ and with each other. When we observe the Lord's Supper aright, we're communing with him. We're drawing near to him. We're fellowshipping with him. Our souls are feeding upon the Lord Jesus as we remember his death in the way that he has appointed. In a spiritual manner, we feed upon him. You know, it's sad and tragic. And if you're here and not saved, it's sad and tragic that in many places across this land, many so-called Protestant places of worship, there are those who regularly partake of what is known as the Lord's Supper, yet have never experienced God's salvation. You see, if you're not saved, you can't have fellowship with the Lord. You can't commune with Him. You're separated from Him by your sin. There's no spiritual life in your soul that you might commune with Him when you're dead in sin. The Bible talks about eating and drinking damnation to yourself. It's only when you forsake your sin and come and trust Christ as your Savior that you enter into a relationship with God through Christ, that you're joined to Christ by faith and then have fellowship and communion with Him. Again, that's why you need to come today if you're not saved. Turn from your sin. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation and enter into that relationship with Him. Enter into communion with Him. Then you'll be able to partake of the Lord's Supper. Partake of it in a worthy manner. May the Lord help us to think upon these things. If we're saved this morning, and if you're unsaved, come to Christ for salvation. If you're saved and walking with the Lord, remain and partake of the Lord's Supper and commune with Him. Let's have a word of prayer as we bring our service to a close. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He is the only Savior of sinners. We thank Thee that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank Thee He came to give His life a ransom for the many. We thank Thee He was able to say, "All that the Father giveth to Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." We pray this morning for those that are not saved. Thy Spirit might strive with them. Thou mightest come and turn them from their sin. Bring them by faith to Christ for salvation. Pray for each child of God this morning. Help us to rejoice in what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We pray that every day we might take time to remember, to think upon the great sacrifice the Lord Jesus offered when He offered up Himself on our behalf. Continue with each one who is able to remain this morning. Go with those who must leave. We pray for Thy blessing to rest upon each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.